From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Among the most vulnerable Alaskans to the ongoing federal shutdown could be thousands of parents who depend on WIC to help them buy food. WIC is the acronym for Women, Infants, and Children, a federal program administered by the state. It provides food benefits to women who are pregnant or breastfeeding in families that include a child under five, as long as the household meets income limits. Jeff Turner, a spokesperson for Governor Mike Dunleavy, says Alaska has enough money in the program to last through the first week of the shutdown. Whether cash reserves last beyond then is unclear. In past funding lapses, Alaska found the money to keep paying WIC benefits. A statement from the governor says the state will have to reassess if the shutdown goes beyond a month. Nationally, WIC depends on money Congress must appropriate each year. In that way, it is unlike the larger SNAP food program, which is considered an entitlement. More than 8,000 Alaskan households receive WIC benefits. For now, WIC offices around the state are open. Congress seems no closer to passing a funding bill. The Senate adjourned until Monday. And former Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson is joining the race for governor. He announced his candidacy in Fairbanks on Thursday. Bronson is running as a Republican and calls himself a, quote, proven conservative leader, unquote, in a news release announcing his campaign. He says he plans to focus on economic growth, infrastructure, affordable housing, education, and, quote, protecting the permanent fund dividend. Bronson did not return calls and emails seeking an interview. He rode a wave of pandemic-induced frustration to be elected to lead the state's largest city, serving as Anchorage mayor from 2021 to 2024. He frequently clashed with the left-leaning Anchorage Assembly over the city's approach to COVID-19 and homelessness, and faced accusations of creating a hostile work environment, resulting in numerous wrongful termination lawsuits and high amounts of staff turnover across departments. Bronson joins a crowded field in the race for governor that includes 12 Republicans and one Democrat. Dunleavy is term-limited and cannot seek re-election. Candidates have until June 1st to join the race. Juneau voters will decide in this fall's municipal election whether to exempt essential food and residential utilities from local sales tax. Economists say that taxes on food hit low-income people the hardest. But city officials warn the change could impact the city's budget and its ability to provide services. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
Welcome, valued customer. Price item in bag or cart.
Whether you head to Costco, Foodland, or Fred Meyer, or any other grocery store in Juneau, you pay a 5% tax on most of the food you buy. And when you go to pay your water or heating bill, you're taxed the same on that too. Right now, Juneau's city government taxes food and utilities like just about everything else at 5%. But if voters choose to pass Proposition 2 on the local ballot this year, that tax would drop down to 0% for everyone, regardless of their income. Daniel Parks is the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank.
On a local level, we're facing the highest amount of demand that we've ever faced.
He says food insecurity is impacting more and more Juneauites every year.
More and more people that are, you know, you would have once thought of as firmly in the middle class are sliding into food insecurity.
Parks says he thinks the proposition could have a positive impact. The proposed food exemption would apply to items under the same definition as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP or food stamps. It would also apply to residential electricity, heating oil or propane, water and sewage, and garbage and recycling. Angela Rodell is the treasurer of the Affordable Juneau Coalition, a group of advocates who have gathered enough signatures to put the question on the ballot. She says Juneau should have removed the tax a long time ago.
This is probably one of the most regressive tax things we have here in Juneau.
She says the change would be immediately felt by residents and will make Juneau more affordable. Juneau Assemblymember Neil Steininger is an economist, and he supports the concept.
We don't have the supply chains that can provide us, you know, lower cost food like a lot of areas down south do. And then, you know, that really impacts, you know, your day-to-day living because, you know, you got to eat every day.
According to city estimates, the average person would save approximately $300 per year. But there's a flip side to that change. The current 5% tax on food and utilities brings in quite a bit of revenue to the city, up to $11 million annually.
That is huge. That is a big number, just to give some context.
That's Assemblymember Christine Wall. She says removing the tax would leave a serious hole in the city's budget.
There is no way that we could exempt food and utilities without significant reduction to what the city provides its citizens.
It's unclear what services the assembly might choose to cut. It would make those decisions after the election. But in hopes to offset those decisions before they come to fruition, the assembly is asking voters to implement a new seasonal sales tax system to neutralize the estimated revenue loss. The proposed system is meant to take advantage of summer tourists while also giving some winter relief to year-round residents.
The seasonal sales tax basically will make up for that $9 to $12 million revenue loss by shifting the tax burden from residents to our summer visitors.
Rodell disagrees. She says a reduction in revenue will force the Assembly to pay closer attention to how it spends taxpayer money, something she doesn't think they've been doing a good job at.
I'm a strong no on the seasonal sales tax because of the way it needs to go back to the drawing board. They need to do a better job about defining how it's going to help the residents of this community.
The last day to vote in Juneau's by-mail election is Tuesday, October 7th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And it's been a month since the sexual assault trial against a former Juneau chiropractor ended with two acquittals and 14 charges declared mistrials. Although Jeffrey Foltz wasn't found guilty, those charges are still active, and he could stand trial again. But earlier this month, the judge in the case dismissed one of those remaining charges. And this dismissal reveals a gap in the state laws that make it harder for alleged victims of sexual assault to achieve justice. More than a dozen former patients have accused Jeffrey Foltz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care, while he worked as a chiropractor at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. Judge Larry Wolford ruled that one alleged victim's testimony doesn't match the legal definition of the sexual assault by a medical provider charge. The acquittal order says the charge is being dismissed because the woman accusing Foltz was aware that the contact she received was, quote, sexual and that it was not part of legitimate medical treatment, unquote. In other words, Judge Wolford dismissed the charge because the victim knew she was being assaulted. That's because a key part of the legal definition of sexual assault by a medical provider requires that the alleged victim isn't aware of sexual contact happening at the moment. State prosecutor Jesslyn Gillum says the statute was originally written in response to a crime where a medical provider was sexually assaulting women behind a sheet so they could not see the act.
Somebody who is receiving treatment and believing the behavior of the healthcare professional is consistent with that treatment, and then later finding out that that might not be the case, that is a sort of a different kind of scenario than what was perhaps initially intended.
So while that statute does apply to many of the women testifying against Foltz, some, like the one whose charge was dismissed after the trial, might fall through the gaps in the laws. Jennifer Long is a former prosecutor and founded Equitas, a nonprofit that advises prosecutors in sexual violence cases. She said that stipulation in the law doesn't make sense.
To put that element in that a victim is unaware that something is inappropriate doesn't really align with the dynamics of this kind of crime.
She said that just because patients may realize that they are being assaulted doesn't mean they're able to speak up or leave an appointment immediately, especially when they're desperate for medical care.
You know what's happened to you is wrong, and you have felt that it's wrong. You may have still blamed yourself or, again, try to give the benefit of the doubt.
And Long said the power dynamic between a doctor and patient can be used to get patients to accept abuse or dismiss it.
This is just one other area where someone in a position of power is using a weapon, and it's their power. It's no different than a gun. It's no different than another threat. It's just another way to get someone to comply.
Let's take a step back. When the state first arrested Foltz in 2021 and charged him with assault, prosecutors were limited in what they could charge him with. At the time the alleged crimes were committed, the statute for sexual assault in Alaska required prosecutors to prove that the crime was committed under force or threat of force. Almost all the alleged victims in Foltz's trial said force was not involved. The general sexual assault law changed in 2023, and the threat of force or use of force is no longer needed to prove assault. The new definition requires that a person did not freely give consent. But that definition wasn't law at the time of the alleged incidents, and Foltz can't be charged under it. So prosecutors in the case against Foltz had to choose between two limiting definitions of assault: one where there was force or threat of force, or one that specifies the defendant is a medical provider and that the victim was unaware they were being sexually assaulted. They chose the second option. Foltz's former defense did not respond to a request for comment on this acquittal, and a spokesperson from the Department of Law said over email that judges do not comment as a rule, quote, in order to maintain the integrity of their decisions. Three charges of the original 16 have now been dismissed. The state plans to retry the 13 remaining charges. A status hearing to decide what will happen next in the case is scheduled for October 15th. And a Pennsylvania man allegedly used the stolen identities of seven Alaskans in an attempt to steal their permanent fund dividends in 2022. A 33-year-old man got control of seven MyAlaska accounts, which are used to file for the PFD, and change the routing information from their bank accounts to accounts he controlled. That's according to a charging document and a plea agreement, which he signed, both filed in federal court on Tuesday. The charges say the man also used what's called a virtual private network to make it appear as though 6 of the 7 online PFD applications had come from Alaska. But one application came from an internet protocol address in Philadelphia, which he had used to log in to his personal email account. The alleged wire fraud occurred in January and February of 2022. Prosecutors say the state of Alaska determined that all 7 of the PFD applications were fraudulent and denied them. If he had been successful, he would have gotten nearly $23,000, according to the plea agreement. The PFD money that he allegedly tried to steal is far less than the COVID-19 relief funds he's accused of stealing in Colorado. In a separate case, the man has also agreed to plead guilty to wire fraud and money laundering charges. Prosecutors say he applied for and received benefits under the CARES Act designed to help businesses struggling during the pandemic. The plea agreement in that case says he owes restitution of more than $5.7 million, with the final amount to be determined at sentencing. There are no sentencing dates set in either the Alaska or Colorado cases. As for the 2025 permanent fund dividend, eligible Alaskans are set to receive $1,000 starting this week. And we have a correction for a story that ran yesterday. In the flood preparation story, a city official misspoke. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says it's expediting its long-term solution, not coming up with a separate midterm solution. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and raining a little bit. It looks like we're not expected to get much rain tonight, and tomorrow could be clearer. Sunday, it looks like the rain will come back, though, with a high of 50 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.